Hi, everybody, and welcome in. It is time for another edition of Three Guys Before the Game, the Iowa State edition. We welcome you into West Virginia's fastest growing podcast. Tony Caridi along with the Senator Brad Howe and the Dean Hoppy Kirchival. Today's program is being brought to us by Daniel's Men's Store in Morgantown. Fantastic Phil is ready to make you a fine-looking Mountaineer with his unbelievable, outstanding, elegant selection of Mountaineer apparel. And right now, as a podcast listener, you've got an opportunity to get 30% off any of Daniel's exclusive WVU gear by simply going into the store and saying, "Hey, fine-looking Phil, I'm here. I listen to Three Guys," and he'll give you 30% off all WVU apparel. And he's got the good stuff.
You wouldn't be wearing one now, are you?
Actually, yeah, this is. This is Cutter Buck.
It is Cutter Buck. Yeah, you know, congratulations to the people that have already taken advantage of that offer. We talked to Philly's, had people in the store. They've taken advantage of 30% off.
Run the guy out of business.
Yeah. Our goal is to get Phil out of business, so let's just make him, exploit him on this. 30% off. Just say, "Hey, I listened to Three Guys Before the Game on all WVU apparel." So Cutter Buck, Nike gear, his State Pride collection as well. Just take a look at everything at Daniel's Menswear, men's store here in Morgantown and University Avenue. All right, guys. So here we go. The leaves are changing. The temperature is changing. And this becomes West Virginia's biggest challenge of the season on Saturday night in Ames for so many different reasons. So many different reasons. This game, to me, is unbelievably intriguing. And as each day has gone on, as each hour passes, I look at this thing and I say one thing to myself: setup. This is the perfect scenario, the perfect setup for Iowa State. Everything plays in its favor. Absolutely everything. And then the more data that I read and I consume, I keep going like, trap, 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 trap. Not that it's a trap that West Virginia isn't anticipating a big game, but right. It's just like they got this thing perfectly situated for them.
So I agree, situational advantage to Iowa State at home with some momentum off a big win. They think they found their quarterback. They've got everybody jacked up. Jack Trice Stadium will be hopping. West Virginia countering, though, with the best quarterback in the league, the most experienced quarterback in the league. So I'll say what I've said a couple times already. I think I said it going into Texas Tech. If you're elite, if you're a Big 12 champion type team, this is why you want the most experienced, best quarterback. This is a game that Will Grier takes by the horns, take the bull by the horns, walk in and say, "Thanks for having us. Glad you're excited. Like the black uniforms. We're walking out with a win. Thanks, Iowa State." Right? If you're legit,
you're
that's
right.
What you do in this game.
You're
situationally,
right.
Iowa State does check all those boxes. But as Brad said, this is not a trap game because you know what's coming. It's not like you just won a big game and you have a letdown. You should be jacked up to go there on the road and play this team that's excited to play you. You won't have any trouble getting West Virginia up to play this game. And you can say, "Look, these guys think it's the biggest thing since sliced bread. Go in there and show them who's an elite team."
You know what this feels like to me, Tony? This feels like what I was hoping or thought Kansas State would be. A well-coached team that plays really good defense, does some things offensively that you haven't necessarily seen, and you're in for a real test, and you can see what West Virginia is all about. I thought Kansas State might give you that, because that sounds like Kansas State normally. I think Iowa State gives you that this week. It's a great test.
I'm impressed you worked the black uniform reference in right at the beginning, and they haven't confirmed that yet.
They have not confirmed it, but my goodness, it was a big story for them over the summer. They were all jacked. They had these new black uniforms. They have not brought them out yet. If they're not going to use them this week, when do you break them out?
When do you use them?
Number six teams coming in. It's a night game. It's a perfect time for a blackout for them. I'll be shocked if they don't have the new uniform. And we know how the players love the new uniforms, right? It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves new uniforms. It's the big thing nowadays. Uniforms, uniforms, uniforms. I don't think Iowa State cares that West Virginia's number six.
They do not. You're right.
No trepidation whatsoever.
It's interesting.
I think they look at West Virginia and go, "Guess what? We held you scoreless at your place in the second half last season, and there are those in the Iowa State circles that believe this defense right now is better than last year's defense."
They
16
do.
16 unanswered points.
Yeah, year. And I think the added piece to that is they look at last week's game against Oklahoma State, Had they not had that offensive performance, I think they'd be viewing this West Virginia team differently, because they would say about themselves, how are we going to get points? Because they weren't scoring. They haven't scored all year. All of a sudden, insert true freshman quarterback Brock Purdy, who we're going to talk about in a minute, and that offense won in a shootout last week. They put up enough points. What did they put up, 42 last week to get the win? 48 to get the win. So I think that's part of where their anticipation and confidence comes from, is because they say, all right, our defense is pretty good. Now we think we have an offense to go with it.
Here is the deal on schedule strength, and this is a big key in this game. Iowa State, as of right now, has played the fifth toughest schedule in the nation. West Virginia, 92. Iowa State, fifth toughest. Iowa State, 92. Now, is that a fault of West Virginia? No. Hurricane Florence had a lot to do with that. West Virginia did not play the game against North Carolina State that was scheduled, and Iowa State has already played Oklahoma. They've already played TCU, so significantly different. So West Virginia's schedule is backloaded. The month of November, and really starting this week, is the hard chunk stuff. And then the other side, Iowa State's, was difficult early, and it gets, at least computer-wise, easier as the stretch goes on. Here's some other numbers for you. Ready for this? Iowa State is 29th in the FBS in sack rate on passing downs, 29th. West Virginia's offensive line is 76th in passing down sack rate.
And Iowa State had like 7 or 8 sacks and 16 TFLs against Oklahoma State. Is that right?
Listen to this. 16 TFLs, 7 sacks in that game, okay? So over the course of 76 plays, they held Oklahoma State to a negative play every 4.75 plays in the game. That's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable, yet Oklahoma State still scored some points on them, but every 5 plays, Oklahoma State was held to a negative play.
Well, if you watch the tape, and they run that odd man front like West Virginia, and they get guys up on the line, right? And they, you know, they rush, then they get guys coming off the corners.
Yeah, it's very West Virginia-esque when you watch them. They do that, Hoppy. You'll see 3 guys up front, then you'll see 6 guys walk up. You'll see 3 men up front and 1 linebacker, and they'll sit their 2 other linebackers out so far that it almost looks like they're playing with 6 safeties out there. So they give a bunch of looks, they bring pressure from all over the place, and they really had Taylor Cornelius, the Oklahoma State quarterback, confused.
Each week on this podcast, we have to have at least 1 Taylor Cornelius reference, whether Oklahoma State is mentioned or not. We need to get Taylor Cornelius in. Offensive line for West Virginia. Last week, it had some busts against Kansas. Joe Brown was not in at right guard. Fortunately for WVU, he is scheduled to return this week. You've got to hope that he is back and that he can immediately step right back in there and make that line solid once again at that right guard spot, because, as you guys just alluded, this is going to be an Iowa State defense that will be in a total attempt for confusion all game long. Sometimes they're going to drop, sometimes they're going to come. Where they're going to come from, you don't know. This is as big of a challenge as West Virginia's offensive line will face to this point in the season from a communication standpoint. If you aren't communicating among those offensive linemen, you're going to have yourself a little bit of a problem, because there's not just one guy that's going to come and bring heat. They've got multiple guys. Take a look at their stats, TFLs, and sacks. They've got a multiplicity of people that can bring pressure. West Virginia's offensive line, the single most important unit of any in this football game.
I think that might be key 1, 2, and 3 this week, because that was the difference last week, why Kansas was able to get in there so often. Just missed assignments, guys going the wrong direction. That right side of the line at that guard position was eaten up by Kansas. And Iowa State, you're right, it's going to do the same thing. Kansas did a bunch of twisting with their defensive linemen. You're going to see that from Iowa State, but sometimes from the linebacker position. So you're right, it's critical to have somebody in there that knows what they're seeing and know which guy they have to pick up. Because if you do that, if you protect Greer a little bit and let him sit back there, then I think West Virginia's in great shape in this game. That's how Iowa State's going to try and win this game, is to get pressure on Greer and force him outside. They can't do that. West Virginia's in good shape.
When are you going to get to the lead here? You're burying the lead.
Right now?
Go ahead.
I was going to go to him right now.
Go to it.
B-R-O-C-K. Pretty good quarterback.
Number 15.
I had to use it once. All right, so we've done extensive research on Brock Purdy. And Iowa State fans, since the commitment came, they just like, this is our guy. We love this guy. Yeah, Kyle Kemp did a great thing for us, but they were giddy that Brock Purdy was going to come. So he wasn't able to graduate early and come in January and then go through spring ball. However, he came in August, but he did spend a week of his spring break. He flew up to, probably went right.
Probably flew to Des Moines.
Yeah, he didn't fly straight into Ames.
No,
he just went. He just
flew
went
to Des Moines.
Probably went into the West Des Moines Marriott, stayed overnight, and then and took off up the road and went up to Ames. And he spent his whole week of spring break watching spring ball. And so people are like, when's Brock Purdy playing? So why are they giddy about Brock Purdy? Because Brock Purdy put up last year some of the most gaudy numbers in the history of high school football in America. In America, his numbers were crazy. He set state records in the state of Arizona in passing yardage and in touchdown passes. And so he was the guy. Then you add into the fact that they say, hey, by the way, he also had an offer from Alabama, and that makes everyone giddy. Then he just goes out there and against Oklahoma State and just starts making plays. And suddenly a dream came into reality, and so now here comes week number two, and they are pretty crazy.
This is huge for Matt Campbell because, you know, he's from Gilbert, Arizona, and so you don't hear much about recruits in West Virginia from that far away, but he was heavily recruited. Alabama, I think he was an invited walk-on at Alabama, and I think their quarterback situation's fairly well settled there. So he had a visit at Central Florida. He went to Texas A&M.
Yep.
And when he made his announcement, he had the Texas A&M cap and he had the Iowa State cap, and he takes the Iowa State cap and he's going there. And I think that, you know, you're right. And I mean, Kent is the senior, then he got hurt. Nolan, the number two guy, no one got the quick hook last week. But this, you got a feeling, is the guy that they want. And he came out, and we watched that game against Oklahoma State, and he does, as the cliche says, he does not look like a freshman. I mean, he's got a great arm, he's got a great presence on the field, and this is what worries you, is he's got legs. And he ran for 80-plus yards, kind of for 400 yards total, 402 yards against Oklahoma State, and 80-plus yards running. And guys, he does that quarterback read option where you think he might pass, but then again, he can take off and run. And when he does, he's a problem.
Yeah, he's very good at that. He's also just good at scrambling, which we saw West Virginia have trouble with in the second half against Texas Tech. I think here's the question for Brock Purdy, and you guys are right. Brock Purdy getting a lot of love. There were about 15 people talking about Brock Purdy this time last week. Yes, he was highly acclaimed. Yes, he was highly attractive as a recruit. He's had a week now to have to hear all this. Tony Gibson has had a week to watch him and get a bead on him. This is a true freshman that has not faced a defense that's going to move, that's going to shift, that's going to give him looks, that's going to bring pressure from everywhere, that's going to drop 11 at times, that's going to bring 11 at times, that's going to come from all over. That confused Alan Bowman, the freshman at Texas Tech. Now, Purdy runs it better than Bowman does, so that's the wild card in this. But let's see the true freshman here. The challenge for him is, okay, that was a heck of a game, buddy. Now do it 2 weeks in a row. Because that's generally the thing with freshmen, is they're very up and down because they don't have the experience. Can Tony Gibson confuse Brock Purdy a little bit in this game?
But I tell you, you read what they're saying about him, and they're actually, and a writer there I think was hesitant to do it, but actually mentioned Seneca Wallace.
Yeah, they did go to Seneca
they
Wallace.
They went to Seneca Wallace.
That'd be Randy Peterson, the Des Moines Register, said Seneca Wallace. Yes.
Yeah. So here's you make some great points, because West Virginia's defense has confused some very good quarterbacks in their youth, i.e. Sam Bradford in the Fiesta Bowl. He's still trying to figure out where West Virginia was going to come from. Now, Bradford doesn't have legs like Brock Purdy showed us. But for those that don't know, the numbers on Brock Purdy, as I was saying, so here's his deal, folks. In his high school career, as Hoppy mentioned, he went to Perry High School in Gilbert, Arizona. He threw for 8,937 yards. He threw for 107 touchdowns as a high school quarterback. A year ago at this time, he threw for over 4,400 yards, 57 touchdowns in a season. 57 touchdowns in a season.
And ran for 1,000.
And ran for over 1,000 yards and scored 10 touchdowns. So this dude, Arizona Player of the Year, and just is a winner. So you got to be careful, because he's so young, he doesn't know any better.
And I think that's why last week was so successful. You just plug him in. He didn't have any time. They say that he knew he was going to get in at some point. Yeah. Matt Campbell said it wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. They had planned on using him. But that's the difference, I think. Now he's had the plan all week. He's had to know he's going in there all week.
And one other point on this, and you can get in here, Hoppy, is the fact that, guess what? Oklahoma State didn't think he was going to come in, and they didn't prepare for him. It's very similar to Texas Tech's Jet Duffy coming in against West Virginia. They were going like, who was Duff? What? He was the third string guy, and Bowman. So they bring this Duffy guy in. they didn't prepare at all for what Jet Duffy could do, right? With his wiggling hips, he could go and make plays. Now, Oklahoma State didn't know that. Well, guess what? It's all West Virginia's been doing all week is going like, okay, here's his deal, guys. This is what he runs. We got it.
Stay in your lanes because he's going to scramble. You need to be here. Gap integrity. I bet those guys have heard that over there 1,000 times this week.
So that's going to be the bigger challenge for Brock Purdy this week is now someone knows what you can do. They've got you on tape. Now that's the challenge.
This is completely irrelevant, but I did so much research last night. I got to get this nugget in that his younger brother, Chuba, is now the starting quarterback at Perry High School in Gilbert, who's also going to be a highly recruited quarterback, just FYI.
If you were really good in your research, you could tell us why they call him Chuba.
You know what? I don't know that, so go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, then it would just be like, get a life.
What do you think it is, Senator? Senator, what do you think it is?
I haven't gone that deep.
Was he a roly-poly when he was a toddler?
I did text Chuba.
So they call him Chuba?
I was doing prep last night. I texted him. I said, I'm actually watching Brock Purdy's commitment press conference.
I thought you went over the top with Puka Williams. I think you know more about Brock Purdy than you did Puka.
Well, Brock Purdy's it's a great story. It's a great story. And so when you think, if you just glance at this and say, oh, they're third string quarterbacks in there, that's not really so. I mean, he's a third guy, but you wouldn't. He's not really a third string quarterback.
He's the future.
But as Brad said, a week to prepare, and this is going to be different. It's going to be a different environment.
Handle expectations now. That's a different role.
Okay, so here you go. So a week ago, we had the over-under on Puka Williams. Mm. The number was 125.
Missed it.
Both of you did.
As did you.
125. I missed the David Long over.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
By a bunch.
Anybody else, neither here nor there.
Oh, neither here nor there.
Well, I was going to get to that in our pick segment. Okay. Congratulate you. By the way, we were chastised on Monday because we didn't bring up the fact that Hoppy did successfully take Texas. Anyway,
I would help with that pick, but
that's all right. So here's my over under. Let's go over under on Brock Purdy now this week. What's the over under?
What do you want to do? Passing yards or running yards?
275 on the pass.
That's not that many.
275 on the pass and 65 on rush.
Yeah, good
275.
Numbers.
Okay, so you're going 325 total yards. Is that what you're going?
Sure, that'd be fine.
No, Let me think about that.
What do you think? Get back to me.
Okay.
Get back to me on that. Okay. So where is this West Virginia team right now? I think you made a great point earlier. Championship teams, conference champion teams, win these games. It's not style points that you're looking for here. This is not a game where you go like, well, they only won by 8. They only won by 15. They didn't cover. They covered. They didn't cover. This is like 14-13. See you later. Thanks very much for having us. You got to win. You got to find championship teams. Find a way to win these games.
Well, I agree with you because I think the college football season is split into two parts, and I think you've just entered phase two. I think style points do matter early in the season, and West Virginia didn't gain many last week, but I do think that's moved on. I think starting with Iowa State, Baylor, and moving forward, this is simply win because if you're West Virginia now, you control your own destiny. Just win out, and you're Big 12 champions. I know that's rare, but you're the only one in this league that controls your own destiny. All you have to do is win.
Okay, you are, but we come back to this point. If you're elite, you go do this. After the second half of Texas Tech, after that Kansas game, can't you legitimately question whether this is an elite team?
Well, if it continues, I think this is always the challenge, is you're trying to take the things that happened Saturday and move them forward to other games. So if you tell me Joe Brown's not going to be back this week, then I start to look at that Kansas game and go, I don't know, maybe some of that happens again. If Joe Brown comes back in, that changes how I look going forward. Do I think Will Greer's going to have 3 red zone picks again moving forward? No, I don't. So that changes what the outcome of the games may look like. That's why I always tell you, you can't just pick one game up and move it to the next week. Does West Virginia have flaws? Well, sure it does. But I think every school in America outside of maybe Alabama has flaws. So it just matters what flaws are magnified each week. If that makes sense. See what I'm saying there?
Yeah. But
why aren't you buying that?
Well, no, I buy that. I just...
You don't have to beat every team on your schedule this week. You only have to beat Iowa State. So, for example, West Virginia in 4 straight games has gone a game with 12 penalties, a game with 4 turnovers, a game with 12 penalties, a game with 4 picks. If we just sit here in August and say, well, West Virginia's going to have a stretch where that happens, you wouldn't necessarily guess they'd be 4-0. Those are things that get you beat. But on those particular Saturdays, they didn't get you beat.
No, they didn't because you were good enough to overcome them and also because of the level of the competition. But going forward, if you continue to play like that, you're going to end up with losses.
But you also may not play like that. That's what I'm saying. Just because you had four picks last week doesn't mean you will this week. So that's why you got to set
I'm looking now at six quarters, okay? At six quarters where they have not performed collectively as an elite team. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So that now, is that not a pattern? You're saying that's the exception, that's not the rule. That's not a pattern.
I don't know that yet. No, I'm not.
But that's an area.
Hold on. Because I think you just took six quarters, which is a lot of time. I would counter that with Will Grier had three bad plays and three bad decisions that if they are not made, that game turns out differently. And we're not talking about six quarters. You're talking about two from Texas Tech and you look to lead against Kansas. So I find three plays. I don't find four quarters.
Okay.
How about that?
Maybe.
Three plays are a lot less than a quarter worth of not playing. Okay, they chewed Kansas up in yardage. They dominated Kansas. It wasn't like a total breakdown of offense. It was three bad decisions.
Well, they should dominate Kansas. I mean, Kansas is awful.
And they did.
All right.
And they did.
I would also enter to the discussion, Your Honor, if I may, that the Texas Tech game became an aberration because West Virginia was up 35-10 at the end of the first half. And I think we all admit that they lost their mojo. And I know you can say, well, championship teams don't lose their mojo, but that's exactly. And their quarterback and Bowman got knocked out. And I thought they thought that the day was done. And
that's why. That's why this is a great game because you're going into this environment, mm-hmm. and this is a game where you go just get a win.
Correct.
I mean, just get it and try to get out of
there. I'm with Tony. There are no style points in this game. It does not matter what the score is. You just walk out of here with a win and move on to 6-0. And that's now I'm going to enter coach mode. But that's really all this team has to do each week. It just has to each week do enough in that individual week to get a win. It doesn't matter what they play like on Saturday where we're going to sit here and go, well, if they do that against Texas, they're going to get beat. That doesn't matter. Just do what you do on Saturday. Find a way to beat Iowa State and then reset for the following week.
I'm not sure I totally agree with that.
Better score early. Iowa State has allowed one touchdown on 46 completions in the second half this season, which is second best in the FBS. They've allowed one touchdown pass in the second half this season. Meanwhile, Iowa State has 13 receptions of 20 or more yards against conference opponents, which is tied for eighth among FBS teams. You want a few more numbers just for the heck of it? Iowa State running backs have not fumbled the ball yet this season.
They're plus two. No, they're even in turnovers, though. Even
tied
in turnovers.
For fewest among FBS teams. Defensively, Iowa State has sacked opponents nine times in conference play. That's tied for 12th most. In the FBS. You want some more? I'll give you one more. Not my favorite necessarily, but just one more. Iowa State has allowed a completion percentage of just 53% in the first quarter of this season. That's the best among all Big 12 teams.
Well, okay, but there's other stats too. I mean, they're ninth in the league in scoring, 24 points a game. They're last in the league in the rush, 99 yards per game. West Virginia is eighth at 162. Let's see. They're seventh in the league in pass offense, 233 yards a game. Of course, that was before Brock Purdy came in. So, statistically, they're not. West Virginia has the edge statistically in this game. Well, they do. They do. Now they do. They do play efficiently. They're only averaging 4.4 penalties a game. West Virginia's averaging what? 7.5, 8.
You also don't know what you're getting. I mean, I think that's the thing with Iowa State. This has been a couple of different teams here.
Because different quarterbacks.
13-3 against Iowa, right? 27, what did they do? 14-17 TCU. 26-13 Akron. And then they explode last week for the point. So again, last week's performance by Purdy in that offense makes this feel like a different game to me. Them holding West Virginia's offense scoreless last year makes me look at this a little bit differently than I would had that not happened either.
Some numbers for you from the West Virginia side. I just gave you Iowa State positive numbers. If you're a Mountaineer fan, and aren't we all across America, and probably internationally as well, West Virginia has allowed six touchdown passes the entire season, tied for the fewest among Big 12 teams. West Virginia has allowed 11 touchdowns the entire season, fewest among Big 12 teams. West Virginia has allowed one first down catch in the last 2 minutes of the first half this season. West Virginia running backs have caught three touchdown passes in the red zone, tied for second most among FBS teams. West Virginia receivers have 556 receiving yards in the first quarter this season, second most among FBS teams. West Virginia running backs have not rushed for a TD in the second quarter of the season, tied for fewest among FBS teams.
I don't even know what that means. But here's what you do have. Take away all the stats for a minute. You still got Will Grier. You still got, and Brad, you mentioned that earlier. You got Will Grier, and last week, in all likelihood, was an aberration. Maybe he forced a couple. Maybe it's because he got guys breathing down his throat because he got trouble at the guard position. When you got Will Grier, you got to go with the Mountaineers. You got to ride the Mountaineers as long as you have a healthy Will Grier in there.
Well, again, step back a minute. You've got the best quarterback in the league, the most experienced quarterback in the league, going against a team with a true freshman quarterback. I know you're on the road. These are the games you win. This is the advantage you wait for. You've waited through multiple seasons. You've waited through 8 seasons with Dana Holgorsen for this advantage.
Right.
This is a game you go win. You have an offense that's loaded. You have a quarterback that's a star. Go win the football game.
A year ago against Iowa State, Will Grier was 20 of 25. That's 80% completion, 316 yards, 2 touchdown passes. He did throw a pick in that game, but he was 80% a year ago. He's probably a little bit better. This offense is better than it was a year ago.
I agree. You want to do a little tight end over-under since you're enamored with the tight ends? You saw Javonte Haskins catch a touchdown last week.
Yeah, in fact, I had conversation with the head coach about the tight end position this
week. I think the tight end might have some opportunities in this game, Tony.
3.5?
Film study, breakdown.
No, I was going to go touchdown catches, 1.5.
Catches. 1.5 touchdown catches?
Because you saw a team take away the slant from West Virginia that had been its favorite red zone play. Do the tight ends, we haven't seen them used a lot, although, again, down in there they got Haskins on that little drag across, caught it to him, he was wide open. Do you want to go over, under, tight end touchdown catches at 1.5?
Over. Under.
Over. You know why?
Because you talked to the coach.
Because Trayvon Wesco owns a large portion of Ames, Iowa. His first touchdown reception of his career, a 6-yarder on the last visit. So here's a guy with proven experience going back there. Haskins is hotter than a firecracker. He caught one last week. I'm going over on 1.5.
And you want to reconsider? The middle of the field appears to be open against Iowa State. They're going to give you that underneath. No, you're going to stay under?
Under. Okay. Today's program being brought to us in part by Daniel's Men's Store in Morgantown, now offering our podcast listener 30% off all of their unbelievable WVU gear, Cutter Buck, Nike, and more. Go see Fine Looking Phil, University Avenue location.
What's the over-under on Akeem Butler? Catches for Akeem Butler.
Yeah, we didn't talk about him. Big 6'7", 6'8", wide receiver. He's a challenge.
Remember the Harrison twins that played at Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
Kent, cousins of his. Long family. Very tall family.
Very tall family.
Very tall family.
He's a player.
These guys got some amazing stories personnel-wise on their roster. Like their backup quarterback. Like, I'll get you this one. Just because I think you guys...
You said his cousins are Andrew and Aaron...
Harrison's over there. Was over there with guys where we played against those guys.
I don't have that knowledge.
I was going to say, there's no way you know the two basketball Harrison brothers because you refused to watch college basketball.
That was the...
hard enough just to keep up with...
We played against those brothers. That was the day they beat West Virginia 400-2 in the NCAA tournament. Anyway, how about this? Riel Mitchell, backup quarterback. His mother is... Cherie, she was Blaze in the TV show American Gladiators, and his father Rodney was Nightmare in the TV show Knights and Warriors.
He's not going to get in the game.
Was a great show.
He's not going to get in the game, so you're not going to be able to get that factoid
well,
in.
Well, don't
so
say that. That's their history. They brought Kyle Kemp in last year against Oklahoma. He wins on the road. They go to Brock Purdy last week at Oklahoma State. Yeah. They may just throw Riel Mitchell in there and run for 400 yards.
They've got some interesting stuff. All right, you ready to go now?
I'm back on the 325. That was your over-under on total
yards.
Yeah,
Brock Purdy. Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
Oh, I should have thought about it. I brought it up. 300. Go to Brad first.
I think I'm inclined. That's a low number passing yards-wise because it seems like everybody can get 300 these days. I'm going to go under just on the theory that Tony Gibson's defense has something in store here. There are multiple looks. There's some confusing looks. They'll get after the quarterback a little bit. I think this will be a little different night.
I'm going to go over thinking he's 280 passing and 60 rushing, something like that. How does that sound?
So over. A little bit over.
A little bit over.
Okay, so that's about 340. Does that get a W?
No.
Okay. Here we go. Ready? Our Big 12 preview for the weekend. Last week, Hoppy took championship honors with his pick of Texas over Oklahoma.
So you trusted the Tom Herman underdog stat.
Well, what I did was I trusted Christian Miller.
I got a guy,
and he helped me. So props to Christian.
Tonight, so for those of you that are watching in the next 5-6 hours, Texas Tech, TCU. Anything shaking there?
Man, what's the line on that?
7.5 TCU. Not expecting a lot of points. Over-under's 58.5. What do you got?
TCU is really underperformed.
TCU hasn't played since the first week of September. I mean, these guys, what have they been doing? Let's go.
Probably TCU because it's home, but TCU is underwhelmed.
Senator?
Yeah, probably, but I'm interested to see if TCU, what they have left in the tank. Gary Patterson obviously knows what he's doing, but they've lost a couple. They're not where they wanted to be right now.
No. High noon start, Kansas State, Oklahoma State on Saturday. The Wildcats are 0-3 in league play. Oklahoma State trying to rebound from the slapping it took from Iowa State. What do you got?
Oklahoma State has a pattern. They get beat, then they blow somebody out. They get beat, they blow somebody out. I got Oklahoma State because Kansas State's terrible.
Those are two schools that you're sitting here on October, whatever it is, saying, is the season over yet? I mean, those programs are both in turmoil.
Well, Oklahoma State's having a down year. The program's not in turmoil.
Right now they are. I mean, they'll be fine next year, but they're a mess this year.
Yeah, I mean, the team's bad. The program's still fine.
Oklahoma State wins that because Kansas State's more in turmoil than Oklahoma State is.
I'm not even sure they're in turmoil. They're just not very good.
They're talking about should they get rid of the defensive coordinator already after what Brock Purdy did to him last week. He's only been there 4 weeks. Yeah. The receiver left, Taylor Cornelius. They want him benched. I mean, I don't know what your all's definition of turmoil is, but my goodness.
How about Kansas firing their defensive coordinator?
Offensive coordinator.
We didn't mention that.
Doug Meacham, speaking of TCU, former co-offensive coordinator there, out.
Well, it just gave him a 6-week head start to go find another job because the rest of the guys are going to be getting fired here in late November, so it'll be over with by then. Baylor, Texas, what do you got? Does Texas stumble in what would be one of the great classic post-game celebration blowouts?
Well, you would, yeah. I mean, that has letdown written all over it, but I still go with Texas on that.
That would be very Texas of the last 10 years-esque, right? Old Texas wouldn't do that. New Texas would forget they've got to go play instead of just show up, but now they win. They beat Baylor.
Badly?
Enough. I don't know if that offense is good enough to beat. Yeah, 14, 17.
Okay, the Lions 14. Yeah, two tutties. Okay, West Virginia, Iowa State. You guys are – well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Now, you grew up in West Des Moines, so you're probably – you grew up an Iowa fan. So you always have a little something for Iowa State. You didn't respect them, did you, when you were a kid growing up?
Well, it was a different program when I was growing up than what it is now.
Yeah.
It's a nice way of saying he didn't.
He didn't like them when you were growing up.
They also missed on me as a recruit. You know, Iowa had possibility there to go to Iowa. Iowa State, one of the many schools that missed on me. So.
Who was the coach at that time at Iowa State?
I got to go back and look. I think it was Johnny Orr, Johnny Orr basketball.
And you're just 45 minutes down the road. You're an all-metro player.
Missed.
They missed on you, didn't
Iowa
they?
Was there.
That was
University of Iowa came knocking.
Iowa State was one of the 162 schools that missed on Brad.
Bunch of them missed.
You and Hoiberg, and they went with Hoiberg.
Yeah, that's probably a good decision. That guy turned out okay.
So, Hoppy, you think West Virginia escapes?
Yes, I do. The line is 7.
What is it now?
6.5.
Six and a half.
West Virginia wins. West Virginia covers.
Ooh, West Virginia covers. Senator, yeah, leaning the same way.
I think so, too. I mean, we're going to spend a lot of time talking Iowa State here, and I think we should. They've learned my respect the last couple of years because of how Matt Campbell has put this program together. But I think this is West Virginia. This is when you double down on Greer, you double down on this offense, say go into Ames, get a win.
All right. They are doing a fantastic job. That program in 2 years has just gone like, right? And
yep.
He's undefeated so far in the month of October. And in the last they got a nice stat there where they haven't gotten beat by 10 or more points.
In a year and a half.
Year and a half. They haven't gotten beat by more than 10 or more.
Watch if he rallies this year and they go to a bowl, and then next year if they win again, watch out.
Yeah.
Not for Iowa State, but for everybody else to come calling to hire him.
Well, your
he's
boy,
only 38
your
years
boy's
old.
The AD there, and he's not going to let that
Jamie
happen.
Jamie Pollard worked with him at Maryland.
Can they keep him there?
Yeah.
They can?
He got a big contract.
Yeah, they got money.
They got a big contract.
They got money. Today's program has been brought
big
to us by
attached to it too.
Daniel's Men's Store, Morgantown. Go in and tell Fine Looking Phil as you listen to this podcast and get 30% off all of their WVU gear. We're back on Monday after West Virginia, Iowa State to pick it apart for Hoppy Kercheval, for the Senator Brad Howe, one of the greats all time at Valley in Des Moines, Iowa.
West Des Moines.
Yeah, West Des Moines, East Des Moines, North Des Moines, South Des Moines. We're out of here.
They do directional.
Yeah.
It is the Midwest.
I got to go watch some tape of Chubba. See ya.